following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning, again. We are continuing this morning in our Right Where We Are series. So we've been spending the last couple of weeks, and we'll be spending one more week after this, hearing about a God, our God, who calls us right where we are, who calls to us, who prepares us, who equips us right where we are. And so we've been looking the last couple of weeks at two different stories about God calling people right where they are. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the story of David, about David's anointing by Samuel. David, who was too young, who was too small, who was at the time ill-equipped, but God called him anyway, and God continued to equip him. God put people in David's life and equipped him for the role of being the king of Israel. And last week, we heard about the Pharisee Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who asked some really good questions. Some questions trying to understand about the kingdom of God, trying to understand who Jesus was, trying to understand all that Jesus had been talking about and was doing and explaining, but it still hadn't clicked for Nicodemus. So he asked the questions. And they were questions that Jesus cared about and questions that Jesus continued to answer and continued to answer to Nicodemus and continued to answer even more so throughout the rest of Scripture, through parables and other stories, etc. Because Jesus expects questions, he expects misunderstanding, and he cares about those questions and he cares about that misunderstanding. He wants us to continue to get to know who he is and who God is. And so this week, we're going to look at another really well-known story. I think this series maybe also could have been called, like, Great Stories in the Bible, but, you know, that also could have been, like, a 30-week series. So this is going to be another great story that we find in the Bible, and it's also in the book of John. And I mentioned last week that John is one of my favorite books, and this is another really great example of why I love it so much. This is a story from John, where we really get to know individuals. We really get to know specific disciples. We really get to see interaction between Jesus and specific disciples. This is a miracle that is in all four books of all four Gospels. And it's one of only two miracle accounts that are in all four Gospels. But this is the only one that talks about specific disciples. This is the only one that names the disciples. The other ones are kind of generic. You know, Jesus talks to a group of disciples. But here in John, Jesus is speaking to specific disciples. And that, to me, really helps to emphasize who Jesus is as he interacts with individual people. So we're going to be looking at the story of the feeding of the 5,000. So we're going to be in John 6, verses 1 through 15. And I'm getting the weekly wave from Dave. Hey, I like that. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles if you don't have a Bible and would like one. Dave, please just raise your hand and Dave will bring you one to keep. That's one of the things that is a great joy of our church families, to give the Word of God to those who desire it. So let me pray for us this morning, and then we can dive into the Word of God together. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time of fellowship, for this time of worship, and for this church family. God, we invite your presence among us this morning as we worship you. Be with us as we open your word and as we seek to follow you. And we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So in John 6, beginning in verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountainside by himself. So again, this is one of those really well-known stories in the Bible, right? It's one that, you know, you learn when you're about this big and you hear over and over because it's a great story and there's a lot that we can dig into. And the version we read here in John, you note the names of Philip and of Andrew, the specific disciples that Jesus interacts with. It's a book that helps us give personality and helps us see Jesus and the disciples and those that they encounter as real people. So here they all are, Jesus and his disciples and a huge crowd, a crowd of at least 5,000 people. You know, there's sometimes I read 5,000 people and kind of knowing stadiums in the world in the day, I think, well, that's not all that many. That's like 10% of the people that can fit in BC Place. But then I start thinking about it in terms of feeding 5,000 people plus. And I think, oh boy, like that's crazy. I remember trying to feed 40 camp staff who sometimes maybe ate like 100, but like even that was quite an undertaking. It was a lot to try and figure out, doing the math of how much of a pizza would each staff person eat. I figured out it was roughly a third because most of the guys would eat about a half and the women would eat, or the girls would eat about a quarter. And so if I figured a third of a pizza per person, we were good. And then you have to figure out the soda and just all the stuff that goes along with it. And that was for 40 camp staff. So 5,000 plus people is what Jesus is asking his disciples to take care of for food. And I love the way Jesus asks the question here. And I love the way John puts the sentence right after it. Jesus says, well, we have to feed all these people. How are we going to do it? And the next sentence is, Jesus asked this to test Philip. To test Philip, because he knew exactly what he had in mind. To me, that makes it seem like Jesus is kind of playing with Philip. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. I bet Jesus was really excited about what he was going to do. He was going to do this incredible miracle here with all of these people. He was going to meet the physical needs of all of these people, letting them eat so they could actually hear him. But Jesus asks Philip the question anyway. And I can just sort of picture this kind of wry little smile on Jesus' face, like, "Hey guys, how are we gonna feed all these people? Why don't you have at it, figure it out, and you gotta do something about this." And Philip, you can kind of see the wheels turning in his head, right? Well, if there's 5,000 people and each person is gonna eat like this much bread and each loaf costs this much, half a year's wages for each of them to have a bite, a bite. And that's, you know, so that's the answer Philip gives to Jesus. Like, Jesus, this just isn't possible. And then Andrew walks up with this little boy who has five loaves of bread and two small fish, barley loaves that are loaves of bread that just the very poor people eat. And in my mind, I see Philip probably not real thrilled with Andrew when he brings this boy up next to him. Thinking, Andrew, are you kidding? 5,000 people plus we have to feed here. 5,000, and here you bring this little boy. Like, I get that you probably want to humor him. You know, you don't want to, like, turn down the kid with his little loaves of bread and fish. But we're trying to feed 5,000 people. We're not trying to feed, like, me and Jesus, and maybe the kid can have a bite with what's left over. And even Andrew seems a little unsure of it, right? He says, I'm not sure how far this is going to go. Like, I don't know if this is going to be enough. But Jesus doesn't see that, right? He doesn't see this as a measly little offering. He sees it as a humble, genuine offering from this boy that he is going to do immeasurably more with. He sees it as an opportunity to show his power and his grace and his love for this huge crowd of people. And so Jesus, the look on Jesus' face is probably very different from what Philip is feeling. Philip's probably just frustrated, and Jesus is like, yes. Like, yes. Like, this is it. This is what I was hoping that the disciples would get even a little bit. Even if Andrew isn't all the way there, he still is taking a step into it, right? He's still bringing this boy. He's not sure what's going to happen with it. He doesn't even, like, he's not convinced that this is going to mean anything. But he's still taking a step in faith by bringing this boy in this humble little offering to him. And so I bet Jesus is really excited. I bet Jesus is really proud of his disciples. I bet Jesus is really proud of Andrew in this moment. And then Jesus did what Jesus was going to do, what he knew that he was going to do. He had the folks sit down in their groups, and with 5 small loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish, multiplied it over and over and over and over to feed over 5,000 people, and then some. There was more left over. There was more left over than there was to begin with. Like, even that is incredible to me, right? It wasn't just like, didn't all just kind of go, and then people were fed, and then there was, you know, just the loaves and the fish left, or whatever. There was more left over afterwards. Jesus did immeasurably more with this small gift than the boy could imagine, than his disciples could imagine, than anyone could have foreseen in that time. And so I think this story has 2 really great things for us in this time. The first and the foremost is what is, I think, obvious and right in front of us: the power of Jesus Christ. The power to do the miraculous. The power to feed 5,000 people plus with 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And the second is the offering, the gift, the humble bringing by this little boy of these 5 small loaves and these 2 small fish. This boy probably didn't go into this day thinking, I'm going to bring my meal to Jesus and he's going to feed this whole hillside full of people with it. I bet he went to that day thinking, awesome, I have food. I have food for me to eat. This is wonderful. And maybe he was sitting or standing close enough to the disciples and to Jesus to overhear them talking about how they were going to feed him. And maybe he starts tugging on Andrew's cloak and says, hey, I have this. You know, Jesus can have this. The boy didn't do the same calculations that Philip did. If he had, there's no way he would have brought that food forward. If he had done that, the calculations, each person would have had 1/1,000th, it's a hard word to get out, 1/1,000th of a loaf of bread. You probably can't even see 1/1,000th of a piece of bread. If the boy had done the calculations, he probably would have sat down in the grass and eaten it himself, maybe shared it with 1 person around him. But he wasn't afraid of bringing this humble gift forward. There's some beauty in kind of his being naive enough to think that Jesus could do something with this gift. Being humble enough to think that Jesus could use anything to care for these people. And so Andrew brought the boy forward. And Andrew even downplayed it a little bit. Andrew knew it wasn't anywhere near enough food. And maybe Andrew had a small sense of obligation. And maybe Andrew felt a little bit like he had seen Jesus do some incredible things. Maybe Jesus could do something with this. Andrew wasn't necessarily expecting it to be all, or to be enough for the whole group. But maybe he figured it would be a place to start. And it was. Jesus made an incredible meal out of this boy's offering. He used it to touch so many people, to affect so many lives, to feed thousands, so that those people were then able to listen to Jesus, get to know Jesus. What for anyone else looked like just enough to feed one or two people, Jesus turned into a meal for thousands. When we started in this series, this Right Where You Are, Right Where We Are series, this story was always at the heart of it. This is the story about God speaking to us right now. If we are humbly willing to bring what we have, Jesus can do immeasurably more than we can expect. But it takes that step from us to bring this gift to Jesus. And that's where the real value in this text is for us, in the boy. The boy who brought forward all he had and said, "Here, Jesus, use this. I know it's not much, but I want you to have it." What are those gifts that we are holding back from Jesus because we've done the math? Because we know that they can't, that we can't make them into what we wish they could be. What are those things that we're afraid of bringing to Jesus? Gifts or skills, property, relationships, influence, expertise, experience, time, energy. There are implications and applications for us both as individuals, but also for us as a church family. There are things that I know that each of us as individuals could be bringing to God that we might be afraid to. I know because I'm one of the first to do it. I'm the kind of person where if I don't have, you know, an hour of time to do something, I won't do it because I don't think I have enough time to do it. If I don't have a full hour to spend on studying, well, nope, that's not enough. God couldn't possibly use, 45 minutes to do what I think will take an hour, right? Maybe we just aren't as naive and hopeful as the boy in the story who brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus to help feed over 5,000 people. The boy didn't do the calculations, so why are we? Why are we letting those calculations take away from what we can bring to Jesus? What are we overthinking? What are we so sure won't make a difference in the world because it's too small? What are we not bringing to Jesus? I'm sure that we all have way more than we think we do. And I'm sure that we all have things that Jesus can use more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever expect. Jesus used this small, insignificant gift from this little boy to care for thousands and thousands of people. Are you willing to bring gifts that might feel humble to you, to Jesus, and allow him to make immeasurably more of it than you ever could? And we have to ask these questions of ourselves as a church family as well. This is an important story for us as a church family. What are we as a church family holding on to for ourselves because we've done the math? Because we don't think that Jesus could do more than we can ourselves. I get emails, I see articles, I have conversations all the time that remind me why this story is important. There are those emails about being the best, about doing things the way big churches are doing it. The churches like the Willow Creeks in Chicago and the Bayside in Sacramento, Life Church in Oklahoma. These huge churches that have all of these great things going on. There are these stories and articles explaining the simple steps we need to do so that we can be like those huge churches. They are the step-by-step guides to small groups and communication and to Christian formation curriculum. And I know I'm not the only one who sees those articles or who feels that pressure. And we're not the only church that feels that pressure. The pressure for us to get it all together, to make great programs, to have every possible option, and to prepare the meal for all 5,000 plus people ourselves. The danger for us as a church is falling into the trap of wanting everything to be perfect before we ask Jesus to be a part of it. Or having everything we think we need to be successful before we believe Jesus can do miraculous things. Would we even need Jesus if that were true? If we could make everything perfect before we invited Jesus in, why would we invite Jesus in? Jesus can take what we have, whether it's 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish, and make it immeasurably more than we can ever expect or imagine. We can't be the ones building the church ourselves. And we'll dig into that a little bit more next week. But this morning, I want us to hear the encouraging and challenging words from this story and to dwell in them for ourselves as individuals and for ourselves as a church family. Bring what you have to Jesus, even if it feels like it's not enough or too insignificant, and allow Jesus to be who he is. Bring your relationships, your gifts, your talents, your possessions to Jesus, and expect that he will do the miraculous with it. Heavenly Father, we confess that we do not always bring all that we have to you. Sometimes we do that out of selfishness. Other times we do it out of fear. Fear that we aren't enough. Fear that what we are bringing isn't enough. We thank you that you assure us that you will accept our offerings and you will do amazing things with them. We ask that you bless the rest of our time together this morning, our time of worship and of prayer and of fellowship. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.